All righty, good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Big Footy Tiger Cast for Monday night. Apologies for the ever so slight delay. I was just catching up with Tiggs off air just to see how he was going. So, and the good news is that he's on the show tonight, which is amazing to have him back on board. So, Tiggs, welcome back first and foremost.
Yeah, thank you for having me. G'day, guys.
No, it's very good to have you back. And I'm sure a lot of people will be keen to know how are you feeling? What's the latest?
Yeah, I'm getting there. The doctors, it's taken 16 months, but because of all the nature of the injury, but they've zeroed onto the fact that my injury is not my brain, which I knew that. It's my sympathetic nervous system. Apparently my nervous system has feelings. That's what it's called, a sympathetic nervous system, but mine's always on. So that explains why I only sleep like 2 hours a night. My heart rate can get out of control. My brain can't regulate my heart rate properly or blood pressure, whatever it is. Basically, it beats too fast. So that hasn't improved yet, but I'm on the right medication for it all now. So, and the neuro was pretty bullish. He said, Mick, he said, go back on the podcast, push it as hard as you can, you know, all that sort of stuff, because the brain's a muscle and I've got to exercise it. So if I sound a little bit funny or anything like that, it's because I'll start to get mentally tired. So just bear with me. I should hopefully make sense. So, yeah.
No, either way, it's good to see your health's up and about and everything's going well, mate. So, and like we sort of said, guys, obviously Tiggs' health does come first. So if it is getting too much for him, he might just drop out whenever he needs to, and that's totally okay. And we'll just keep pushing on. But it's awesome to have him back on whenever he's available. So you can see from all the love in the chat, mate. I'm sure we tell people to shoot you messages and harass you in DMs and stuff. So I'm sure you've been copying messages throughout the journey as well. So it's, everyone's pretty pumped to see you, which is good.
Fantastic. Yeah, no, that's why I want to get on. And I'll be on every week, guys. So just so you know, back programming is resuming as per normal. So take that as a good or a bad thing, depending on your feelings.
Very good. Now, before we get to the Richmond stuff, I don't know if you'll be across any of this stuff because it's not Richmond related, but I'm going to flag it anyway because I think the audience may be across a little bit of it. But the game yesterday, and I know it's a Richmond show, and I know I'm about to talk about North Melbourne and Collingwood, but it's just a prominent discussion point that the AFL have come out today and cleared the 50-metre penalty that wasn't paid to the Kangaroos late in the game, and they've also cleared the touch behind that was quite clearly touched off Scott's finger. I'm not sure who the player was, but I've watched the clip of the touch behind a couple of times on my phone, and you can quite clearly see it was touched. The only people who think it wasn't touched were Collingwood supporters. Like, I don't care about the result. North shouldn't have lost the 54-point lead. So park that to one side. But my gripe is that Laura Kane and the AFL are treating the fans like idiots again to try and bullshit their way around that 50 not being paid. If you watch the footage and listen to the audio, the only thing that was paid was a mark. They blew the whistle once. Then as he blew the whistle a second time, the umpire said mark. And he was still getting rushed like a quarterback on a blitz play from the opposition. So how it wasn't 50 defies belief because there was no play on ever called whatsoever. And look, I do acknowledge that he probably did go off his line. So he probably technically didn't stand where he should have, but it was never called play on. So it had to be 50. And then the touch one as well. But I just don't like it when we're all treated like idiots. And I know it wasn't our game and it didn't impact us. But as supporters of the game, all we want to see is consistency in the decisions. And it wouldn't kill them to come out and say, you know what, we actually got that one wrong. Sorry, this is what we're going to do to try and tighten up and fix it going forward. And everyone would be like, you know what, awesome. You put your hand up. Great. Shit for North. But everyone can see it. Why treat us like idiots? I just don't understand. Did you see the two incidents, Tiggs?
Yeah, I did. There's a couple of things I'd like to, and this is nothing against Laura. She could have been called Peter, right? So there's not a sexist thing.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. 100%, right? But she is... She's accountable. She's, you know, the head of it all. So now, and, you know, rule changes and all the other shit that we're going through this year, you know, she's signing off the four umpires, which is the umpiring standard this year has probably been the worst I've ever seen it in my lifetime. And really, but if I start back, if I scale it back a bit, Laura Kane is a symptom of what's wrong with the AFL Commission and the AFL in general. They've done a 360. They've gone now really heavy corporatized. They've completely lost touch with the competition that they're entrusted with. What I mean by that is They've lost touch with the spirit of the game and what they need to protect. And every decision is made now basically on KPIs and dollars. And to get it slapped in your face, if you still don't believe that, just listen to her interview on the radio. It was unprofessional. Mm. It was off the cuff. But if anyone's been in a boardroom, you know, with my work before I got hurt, she sounds exactly like a rep or, you know, HR officer or, you know, the corporate type speak. So in that context, I wasn't surprised because they don't have any integrity anymore. And they haven't, they've lost that integrity. See, the thing is, people knock Gil, but his early days, I was a big supporter of his. He started to change. And particularly, you know, he became rotten when he got Hocking and all the conflict of interest there. And it's just with Dylan, he's done nothing. He's literally, I don't think he has a backbone. I haven't seen any directional leadership from him. Everything's delegated now to Laura Kearney. She's the one that's sort of forced now to step up.
Yeah.
So them ticking it off, it just reinforces my belief that if you gamble on this sport, you're an idiot because the sport does not have any internal integrity. And it's going to take something big that's going to happen that it's going to cost the AFL competition cash. That's the only way they'll change it and get through their mindset. Because there's a couple of things with that particular incident. First of all, players can't assume what the umpire's thinking or not thinking. So as soon as the mark was called and the mark was taken, they have to stop. That's a rule. That's going back since the creation of the game. As soon as the player marks the ball, you have to stop. They didn't. I don't care if he went 50 metres to the right off his line. You can only encroach that player if the umpire blows play on, which he never did. That in itself makes Laura Kane's statement show what bullshit it is. And this is the thing I think which they're going to learn now with the feedback and hopefully see for Jared Wheatley to go out and slap it, it's a pretty big ship because he's a mouthpiece.
Right? Even John Ralph did as well. He put out an article in particular about the touched one saying that everyone could see it was touched.
The one thing with the football public, and this is what Laura's going to learn pretty quickly, is that we will give a lot of latitude, like with the Brisbane, you know, that non-reviewed goal that we copped. Don't take the piss. If you're obviously going to take the piss for something that's not true, we will get our backs up. And that's what's happening now. And that clear ball was touched. But I could wear that. You know, that instance, yeah, it was shocking wrong call. I can wear the AFL trying to cover the umpire's back and their arc and all the money they invested and say some bullshit. I can cop that. That's because I copped the Lynch one. But when they lie about a rule that's a fundamental of the game, that's a cornerstone of the game, you've done me. So, yeah, look, we're in a bad shape. Umpiring is, you can't trust the umpires. Who here in the, if there's anyone that's watching this show, if you want to put in the comments, who here can say with honesty that you trust the umpiring decisions, 99% of umpiring decisions that are made during a game?
And like I've told this, said this many a times, the problem is that there's often three possible outcomes for the one bit of play happening. And like it's hard for them too. Like they're only officiating to the rules they've been given to officiate, but it's just not clear cut enough. And then, yeah. And if we want to double down further with the AFL and their rule changes, now we learned that they're threatening to implement draft changes to the picks and the points to impact father sons and to impact
that won't happen.
Bids, trying to impact it this year, knowing full well that teams, including us, made huge plays over the last 12 to 24 months in anticipation to trade these off for clubs who we knew were going to need it. It's like you can't implement a rule that's going to have that much of an impact on clubs in this current season. You've got to give them a couple of years' notice so they can not only just us, but the clubs with academy players so they can plan accordingly. It just blows my mind that it's even remotely on the table. And I dare say there'll be a good 10-plus clubs kicking back on it.
Well, not just clubs, player managers. There are already deals being organised that are going to be announced that are backed on deals that were done last year. Because drafting and trading of players is a two-year, 24, 36-month process, right? When I was getting an update on some trade news to share for the show, everyone knows that where I, not everyone doesn't know where I get my sources from. You do Michaels, but player managers, if they try to change the rule, AFL will be in court. Trust me when I tell you this. Tom Morris and other media people, you watch his show, we know you do, and thank you for your acknowledgement via private channels. Go search it. Speak to them. I did. I spoke to one. And, yeah, I believe everything he told me. So, yeah, player managers will slam the AFL before anything because there's deals that have already been semi-promised based on the picks that the clubs have. Mm-hmm. And when they do that with the two clubs in mind, so the destination club and the club that it's coming from. So if Laura thinks, oh, I can come in and just change it, no, because you're now restricting this person's livelihood because the trade won't go through. So they have to give a 24-month grace period. Trust me, this is what will happen. They'll give a two-year grace period. So they'll say the rule's going to change in 26. They won't say 25. They'll say 26. And that's going to allow the trades that are already sort of locked in or about to be locked in get done, and then it will be fresh with the knowing what the points values are going to be. Mark my words on it. There's no way. Look, but this is AFL we've got, right? They run their own race, but they'll be in court.
Yeah, and like we've sort of always spoken about with trade period, that these deals don't just happen in the week window that they're given to happen in. There's a lot of lead up and a lot of bullshit that happens behind the scenes that no one will ever see or know about. Like you said, on the premise of clubs who have got picks X, Y, and Z, based on what's happening in the now. So it doesn't make sense that to be able to get away with it. And the fact that they've even put it out there, there's nothing to gain from even doing it. So I don't know what they're going on with here. But anyway, I'm not sure if Andrew Lynn can block that. Here's one from Anthony. We might get this out of the way real early. I was walking with one of the parents of the reserves players and they confirmed that Baker is going to WA and Daniel Rioli to the Gold Coast. Thoughts?
Look, this is as current as this morning, right? Late morning. So unless something's happened or changed. The reading that I've got is that Baker is very much more likely to stay than go. The club wants him to stay, is desperate for him to stay. West Coast hasn't got anything that we need to facilitate a trade. That's what people are missing here, right? They'll give us their first-round pick. Well, we've got other deals at the moment that are in work, so it sort of makes sense of what I'm saying. And the other thing too is the reserve player, there's no way a player will tell, how can I explain it? We're mates, right? So I'll tell you stuff, but I won't tell you everything. If we were working together, I don't tell you how much I'm getting paid. Do I? Right? So that's the level of where it's at. I'd be gobsmacked if a player, unless they're already about to sign, right? A week away from signing, that's when they do it, right? To give the other players. So, no, it's not. All that shit is just rumour, right? It's funny, if you notice, 3 months ago when I came out and said, no, this is, it's sort of all just, I'm not saying I caused it, right? I'm not getting a big head, but it's all died off, right? Yeah, now you're starting to get the groundswell of, oh, Baker might be staying and blah, 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 blah. I know where I get my mail from and I believe it. Exactly. Look, if it was Freo and I was getting told, Fremantle and Baker would love to go work at Fremantle because something about being at Cockburn would be brilliant for him. Yeah, I'll tell you, even though I'd hate it, I'll tell you. I don't need to gaslight anyone, but no, that's not the case. He won't. I've got a feeling, I sort of said it on the Big Footy Forum, I don't know if you've read the post, but from what I got told, and I asked it again, and I heard the same thing. What I think is going to happen, well, no more towards the end of the year.
Yeah.
Because he should be signing in about 8 to 12 weeks. It's generally his motor set just before finals is generally when he says, yes or no. If he hasn't signed by then start to worry. But from what I've heard, he's vice captain now, and he's been told, and this was last year, that he's going, Nankervis is bridging the way for him to become captain of our club.
David just said exactly that. The biggest person working on keeping Baker is Nank, as he wants to anoint him the next captain.
Spot on. So he caught my thunder. But That was the succession plan that was in place when Koch and when the captaincy was handed over, right? So he's agreed to that. There's no way I can't understand. I can't see Baker as an individual or as a person that will just pivot that hard. So, yeah, and he loves the club. And everything I said in that sort of came out when he did his little interview. He loves the club. He's a leader to the young kids. He's put Sonzi under his wing. He's committed to things within the club that I can't see him that next year is not the Richmond captain. So, yeah. Now, I doubt Baker's going to WA, to be honest. But I could be wrong. I'm not Baker. But where I got this from, just let you know how strong this is. The same source that gave me Hampson, we know I knew Hampson was coming to Richmond. The same source, funny enough, that told me about Treloar. And everything I said about Treloar, no one knew about, you know, Grubby Allen and all that shit. And I posted that well in advance. And that was, and when it fell through, everyone was going, oh, you see it's coming. But everything I had said was proven true. All the back deals and how shifty it was.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same bloke that told me about Lynch. Right. So I you could be wrong one time. Maybe this is the one time, but I doubt it. Rioli's not on anyway either. By the way, let's kill this one, this Gold Coast. People just, it's funny how the rumor mill works. Hardwick, ex-coach. Daniel Rioli on holidays. They're going, right? Dusty had lunch, dinner with Hardwick. They're getting married, right? No. Daniel Rioli, correct me if I'm wrong, he's still contracted. He signed a contract not long ago. He's contracted. He's not getting traded. And he's a required player. Plus, there's Morris. Plus, there's the legacy of the Rioli name within Richmond. People underestimate the strength of that. You know, the institute that we have there, what he does in the off-season, what he does during the season. You know, no. No, that won't be happening. Graham.
Dusty.
Yeah, Dusty. Everything I said about Dusty came true. I mean, everything I told you guys at the very start, how many shows ago when the last time I did it? Dusty will not retire on his 300th. From what I heard at the start of the year was he was most likely re-signed, but it'd be year on year with a slight chance of being a 2-year and then year on year, but more likely year on year, or he'll retire at the end of the season. I have not changed my message, and I believe with Dusty being as profuse with his love, he basically said it a lot better than I could. But he's Richmond. It's like Matthew Richardson. Did you see him playing for Carlton when he's 32 years of age?
No, definitely not.
Doesn't make any sense.
No.
From what I heard this morning, Graham, yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, he's right, gone. Okay.
He's gone. Adelaide's desperate for Graham. It's because they've got issues within that midfield. They've got major issues at the moment, Adelaide. And they want to get a bit of the, you know, bring a premiership player that's, can, you know, all that sort of stuff. So that has a bit of value. So, yeah, from what I heard, I believe Graham's going to go. He'll be traded.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's a bit of a mini trade wrap for people. We might retouch on some of those ones after, but we'll get stuck into talking about the game we played against the Hawks. Now, this might be the wrong attitude to have for this, but for me, being at the game, the score and the result was largely irrelevant for me. It was more about the occasion, but be that as it may, we did get done by 48 points, 6-13-49 to 14-13-97. So it wasn't a good showing, to be fair. We didn't have any multiple goal kickers, just some individuals. Taranto, Martin, Mansell, Kaczynski, Seth Campbell and Bolton, all with one each. But look, I think the story of the day was quite clearly about Dusty and his 300th, and to see him kick that opening goal and the noise the crowd made, it was you couldn't have scripted it any better if you tried. And it is a shame we couldn't go on with it. We were good for about 5 to 10 minutes, and then the Hawks kind of got going and got things on their terms, which was a little bit disappointing. But what did you make of the game and Dusty's 300th?
Yeah, I'm glad for one of the reasons I wanted to get on the show was to clarify a few things. I copped a bit on, surprised the crap out of me because, you know, I'm a Tiger man through and through. If anyone, so everything I say on Twitter is, or X, whatever it's called, is from that lens. It's not from, oh, I'm going to shit on the club or whatever it is. But look, when Dusty kicked that goal, I thought, you know, fantastic. You know, the footy god said, this is the perfect script. let it play out that way. But look, I want to talk about the coach first, and then we'll talk about the game. So I think the way we are at the moment, I have a few concerns. I just want to clarify, because it's very hard to do it on Twitter, because one of the symptoms of what I've got is when I type, I can make a huge amount of typos, and sometimes I don't type what I want to say. Makes sense. I don't want the coach to be sacked. Let's get that clear. I want him to stay at the club for 6 years. Why? It's going to take 6 years to fix where we're at, right, if you're realistic. Right? And I'm not saying in that 6 years we won't be playing finals. We will be. But it's going to take 4 to 6 years to fix our club. And if anyone thinks it's going to take 2 years or 3 years, you're over-optimistic, which is great. Good for you. But I'm not naive when I say that, right, about what I think the work that we need done. So it's going to take 4 to 6 years. So I'm in that context. But in his first year, my worry, it's probably not more on Adam, but it's more on, you know, Trucks there, Teague's there. Some of the Damien Harwick's off-field staff are still there. You know, is that the sense that for me is when Damien took over, he had a worse list, right? He didn't have 10 or 12 premiership players playing. He didn't have a higher level of skill in that team that we have. You know, he didn't have a Bolton running around. He didn't have Martin, you know, all that sort of stuff. So, but with Hardwick, go watch the first 10 games. It was an absolute mess. But what you saw by round 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, you started to see a complete shift in our system. We started to show something. Now, it was a wrong game plan. They put their hands up by 16 that, yeah, we've improved. We're starting to play finals. It's good enough to get us there. But it can't handle extreme pressure, right? But as a new coach, he's got to learn that. And I'll give Adam the same amount of grace, you know. This game plan he's got is not going to work. Well, that's all good, mate. Stick at it for a couple of years. If you still think it's not going to work, you can't innovate it, change it to something else, and I believe he can do, right? So so that's where the context of my tweet was, that what really concerning me in a game like against Hawthorn, and yes, like, and I made it really clear, but people completely missed it. Hawthorn is about 4 years in front of us. They've got they've recruited for the game plan that they're playing now. For the last 2-3 years, they've been shit. And when I say shit, they've been bottom of the ladder, right? So, but they've shown that they've recruited kids to formulate this run, carry, very Richmond-esque, just with a few tweaks, Mitchell sort of developing. That's what we need to do. So I was under no illusions when the Hawthorn started getting their tails up and started out running us, that we were cooked. But the highlight, the red flag I had is it's round 12 or whatever it is. Our forward line doesn't seem to connect with our midfield, and our midfield don't seem to connect with our back line all season. If the game starts not to go our way, we don't have connection between the three lines. And what if you look at how our club is structured, what we've got Teague in, I think he's running, we've got Truck in the back line, Teague's forward. And so these ex-Chiefs, it's not working. And that hasn't improved. That hasn't fixed, right? And that is
changing. I reckon a bit of the changing of personnel. Like, we haven't had a consistent lineup, to be fair, as well, which probably makes difficult.
I give a lot of latitude. And I've been a defender of the club since round when the injuries started happening. I have been. Just read my tweets.
Yeah.
But we still have a core group of talent in that. Our back line is not decimated, right? But now they're starting to look at C. Why? Because their midfield's not doing anything. The forward line can't function. And you coach to the cattle you have, right? So if you don't have a game, you don't have the personnel to run a game plan, what do? You simplify everything just so you can put the right type of development in the people that you have. That doesn't seem to be happening, and that's concerning me. But in saying all that, it's not all doom and gloom. And you're correct, Travis. That's my point. It's not when it starts to go our way. It's when things aren't going our way. That's the concern for me. So, but it might be there's ball movement or something that I'm completely missing that we're focusing on this year. Because You'd have to be an idiot. I'll pitch any money. Gale went to him and said, you know what, mate, this year's a write-off. Just function on whatever you need to function on that's going to accelerate our development next year, right? That's smart management. And I believe that probably happened, right? Because our club, people that run our club are quite smart. But, yeah, it's I'm just concerned. I'm not so concerned about the players he picks. Like someone mentioned Cumberland and stuff. We'll talk about him during the game review. But, yeah, and some of his messaging in his – now, he's got to learn his presses, right? But Gale's a proven professional. Neil Barn, we've got people there that have all the media experience in the world, and I can't believe someone hasn't tapped him on the shoulder and said, hey, when we get done by 10 goals or have a completely non-competitive effort, don't start speaking about how proud you are of everyone. We know you're proud of them. You're their coach, not their mate. Yeah. And that for me is a little bit – I'm not saying him to be a prick, but I'm saying him, yeah, you know what, funny enough, Dustin Martin had a mare of a game. Obviously the occasion overawed him, you know. Shai Bolton was shit. Not to say, you know, Shai was shit, but, yeah, no, it never worked. We just had major issues. We'll get better from it and leave it at that. Don't go on about, you know, how proud and this and that. That yeah.
Yeah, but you don't want to baby him too much, I suppose.
No, and that's that worries me a bit. But look, the game itself, you know, we've got a winner. I always put his name. Sorry, my memory's not great. But McCauley, the young kid.
Yeah, Kane McCauley. Why? Yeah, I don't know why he's still sub. Give him a full game.
Yeah. He probably doesn't have a tag. To be fair, he probably doesn't have a tag. And Yusei's doing the right thing by trying to protect him a bit, but give him exposure in the games because he knows he's going to be a 200 game player. His IQ he's a natural footballer. Seth, I was really proud of. You know, he's a natural footballer. I didn't expect Lynch really to do much. How did you think he was defended? He was not defended legally the whole entire game.
There's a few times where I looked up and he was not able to get a run and jump at the ball, put it that way.
No, and the umpires are in full view of it. He was getting – and I can't believe he got fined for wrestling, and apparently the person who was wrestling with him, Frost, didn't get anything. Oh, it's just a farce. But our back line, I'm really worried about our back line. They're exhausted mentally. They're mentally now done. Thank God we've got the bye.
Yeah, like you said, and it's – like them as a unit are actually doing a reasonably good job. It's the lack of pressure – that's giving other teams easy ball time after time in there that, yeah, it would just break you down over time. But, yeah, so that is understandable. Actually, on one of the backmen, it was later in the game, Nathan Broad had a mark or a free kick just outside 50 punt road end, and he absolutely munged the kick. It was an absolute shocker. And he still hit a target, though.
Yeah,
he's turned around to the crowd waving like, yeah, still hit the target. He was pretty happy with himself. I thought that was just a very funny moment in what was, you know, a reasonably dour game. But I thought Timmy Taranto had a good game as well. 33 disposals, 6 marks, 5 tackles, 8 clearances. The goal he kicked, that wasn't a shot for goal. That was a pass that went in. Yeah. But we'll take it. It was a ripper. We'll take it.
No, I reckon he did. I reckon he did a Hail Mary. Hail Mary shot, and it went through. Can I say the one player that I'm so stoked for, and someone put his name out there in the comments, so thank you for that, Hugo Routh-Smith. I think he's shutting up a fair few amount of people. We've always known he can run for miles and miles and miles and miles, but his positioning, his ability to run back and defend and then try to be an outlet forward when the team is getting smashed, that's what you want to see. You want to see a winger do that because wingers are very green type players, right? Bradley Hill, for example, when his team's getting clobbered, you don't see him in the game. Still Sidebottom, when he was playing wing, when his team's getting clobbered, you don't see him in the game. But Hugo Routh-Smith, you see him in the game. And that's hard to find. So we've got a winner there. His disposal needs work because he's a link player, but he's worked on it. He's worked on it a heaps. Yeah, no, he's got good hands too. He's good overhead. He can take a mark. He's brave. Yeah, we got. I'm so proud of him.
He's done well because I don't think it's harsh to say that a lot of people had probably written him off not long ago, just based on sort of all the talk around him. But he's had a good 6 weeks of football. I mean, in times where we're struggling a little bit, he's been, and look, he's not getting 25 touches a game, but it's his work rate, it's his defensive efforts that probably don't register a stat, like maybe not so much in this game, but the week before, the running back with the flight of the ball, getting those little deft touches in so opposition players couldn't mark. They're the things that you maybe don't get a stat for, but are just super helpful from a team perspective. I think he's been, Kylie, you're right, very consistent. I think he's probably been one of our most consistent players over this last month, which is awesome for him. And Jones, you're probably right as well. If there's a most improved player award, he's probably going to be heading the right way of getting it. So,
well, he's going to be neck and neck with one other player that's competent at the moment. And people haven't put what's happened. Let's talk about Dow, can we, for a little bit?
Oh, sure. I've been slapped across X as well.
Yeah, he's polarizing.
I'm Team Dow.
Yeah, I'm Team Dow. Because this is the reason why I'm Team Dow. He's a kid, one. Two, he's manning up on midfielders he shouldn't be manning up on. Right? He should be manning up on the fourth string or the third string midfielder, right? At his stage of his career. He's not. He's manning up on the first or the second tier, right? But even though, and he's got an ability that's really rare for a mid, which is if you have this on a midfielder, you grab it. He's got vision, right? So when he's an extractor, he can get the ball by hand and he can share the ball. He knows what's going around him and can release the ball by hand beautifully. He's just obviously going to build his frame and build his tank more. So we've asked a lot of him this year and he's been manful. He's contributed in a lot of his games. Yeah, he's had some bad games. And yes, he's got one glaring issue, and I'm not being blind to it. His turnovers by foot, right? He turns the ball a lot by foot, but that's something that you can fix. Now, people go, oh, you can't fix kicking because of junior. No, but look what Hardwick did. If we can develop a game plan where we kick to advantage, all he has to do is kick to space, right, because he's an extractor. He can be like our version of Shane Tuck, just with better hands, right, and vision. That's no disrespect to Tucky. I love Tucky. So he's got a lot of value to us. Some of the shit he copped, he's been copping on Twitter is shocking because this kid, let's put it this context, Sonzi, and I've always been a Sonzi defender, right? You know that, Michael, from when we first got Sonzi in.
Yep.
I've always said, get him in, get my boy in, and I'll put him as my boy straight out of the way. Look at Sonzi's game. Sonzi, he's going to be a talent, but he doesn't have – he has delay in his action. Why? Because he's a young kid. If you watch him and tell him, he'll hold the play up because he's trying to find where he's going to kick the ball. And, yes, he's more skillful, right, in the sense he can hit a target when he finally hits it. But Dow doesn't do that. Dow, as soon as he gets the ball, he instantly makes a decision. That is as rare as hen's teeth in the kids. So, but Sonzi gets away – a lot of people give him a lot of slack because of his draft number, but they pillar this poor kid down. So all I'll say is give Dow a break. Give him two seasons. Hardwick mismanaged him. I love Hardwick, right? I'm a Hardwick fanboy, but mismanaged him. Why? And it's not on purpose because we had such a great team. Mm. So this poor kid got stuck playing a certain way in the VFL. He had injuries early on and all that sort of stuff. So he's now finally getting a crack. Judge him when he hits 60 games. 50, 60 games. That's when you make a call on a kid.
Yeah, I agree. He's at 30-odd, I think. So I agree. And, like, people keep saying, oh, he's been in there for 5 years. He has been, but he hasn't had the opportunity for 5 years. And one of those years he missed entirely with glandular fever. And then through COVID and VFL weren't playing. So, and it's not making excuses. That's reality. That's fact. I agree. Wait till he gets to 60, 70 games and see what's going on then. But yeah, for the job he's been asked to do, he's been doing fine. And there's no need for him to – he doesn't need to get 25 touches a game. I strongly disagree with anyone who thinks that. No. I would rather him get it 15 times and give it to Taranto all of those times or Dusty for all of those times. They've all got different roles to play. But speaking of Sonzi, where is he at? I think he's been out of position, which is frustrating. But there's opportunity there, which is annoying.
The first half of – this weekend's game, I was really worried. I thought, shit, he's regressed. He was tentative with the ball. He delayed with the ball before disposing. It was so often that he'll get the ball mid-wing and then stop when we're streaming forward and just wait and wait and wait before he pulled the trigger on his decision. But what was funny enough, what gave me a bit of a smile and gave me hope was as the game got away from us, so quarter three and quarter four, he opened himself up. He started, one, grabbing the ball and then kicking it straight away or handballing. He started speeding up his play. So I think it's all confidence with him. I think it's experience and confidence. He's got to believe in himself. I don't think he's there yet. I don't think he's there yet that he fully believes in himself. He's got all the tools, mate. He can sidestep. He's got a neat. I remember when he first had showed a couple of his games and he played on instinct more. You know, he'll do those, you know, 15 meter angle kick and hit a teammate that's without breaking stride. You know, be able to play the corridor and play the box, as they say. He does that really well. So he's just got to believe himself and bring that back into his game. But I think, yeah, I think he's going to be. You know who reminds me of? Who should be played like?
Who?
Joel Bowden. He should be played not as a midfield jet. He should be played as a utility. You know, I can get why we play in the back line because his disposal is really neat. But he's more Joel Bowden for me. Put him, you know what I would have loved to have seen on the weekend? Put him in centre half forward. Change the shape of the, you know, we lumbered with, you know, Lynch, who couldn't move, and then he ended up getting benched. We put Cozzy down there and swapped Bolter. That was good. But maybe just get Sonzi. You know what, mate? We're going to kick the ball to you. Just run and grab it and, you know, give him, you know, yeah. But he should be like a Joel Bowden for us.
I think you're right. I think you hit the nail on the head with he just needs confidence. He needs to play like he thinks he belongs in whatever position it is that we want to play him in. I don't know. I really want him to work. I really do, because he does have the tools and you see it for glimpses. But, yeah, we just need him to believe that he belongs at that level and can do a job. Speaking of players who look like they belong, Tom Brown, again, has another really good game. 12 disposals, 5 marks, 2 tackles. But it's the way in which he kicks the ball. And Jones Racing actually sent me a stat on Tom Brown. Bear with me while I bring it up quickly. It is Tom Brown. So Tom Brown has a 1v1 loss percentage of 10. That's pretty good going for a young kid in his first real crack at it in the big time. He's been super impressive in a back line that's under siege as much as it is. I really liked what I've seen.
Go back to the first podcast we did when we first drafted Brown, and I was on record, and I said this: Brown will be in our start once he's get given a full season. He'll be automatically because he was injured at the start in our best 22. And give him 3 seasons, and he will be one of our better defenders, rivaling Vlossen. That's what I said. It's on the podcast. You can just go play it. Way back, I think it was last where we first got him. I said, because from what I've seen from him as a junior, and Geelong was spewing, they did not get him. Yeah. He hasn't got a tank yet, though. This is the thing. His biggest Achilles heels at the moment is his tank. Smalls, mediums with a bit of toe can get away from him late in quarters because he can't keep up yet. Yeah. That's okay, though.
That's easy to work on.
Yeah, he'll build that up the more pre-seasons he gets. And the reason for that, from what I got told, he's put on size. Like, if you saw him when he was a junior, and when he first came to us, he was known for his speed and he was a lightly framed kid, right? He's put on a lot of kgs. That's why I'm really, with such an intelligent admin that we have with Gail and all that, while we have the medical and the performance staff that we have, it's just a crime. But anyway, so he's got too much weight on, but his decision making, he's a one grab player. He knows, he reads the play, and he's one of those backmen which are worth the weight in gold. Vlossen does it. He tells the players kicking to where to go, right? He demands, he wants you where to go. I just hope, as we improve, we can get him going up further up the ground, because he'd be a delight to be able to kick that ball inside 50. And we've seen that a few times.
He's a good kick. He's a very nice kick.
Can we change tack? Because I want to talk about this player, and I take no pleasure in it, but I've been on record about Cumberland, right? And I copped a bit for it, you know, give the kid time. And it sounds like I'm a hypocrite, right? Because, you know, I'm saying give Dow time and they're similar to age group and all this sort of stuff. But see, the difference between Dow, yes, he has some faults, and Cumberland, who has some faults, is Dow does second efforts, third efforts, runs himself to the ground. You can see his endeavour. He gives everything he's got on the field. Cumberland doesn't do that. Now, I had an argument with one of my mates. It wasn't an argument. It was just to bounce a few things off. And yes, being a forward's the hardest position on the ground, particularly a high half forward, right? Because if the ball doesn't come, you can try too hard and it can – and I get it. I'll put that in that context. Mm-hmm. But I've been watching him, mate, all season since he's got in. Really just – he's the player I'm watching. And I'm over it. I can't – teams now know when you're playing Richmond, play through his man. Because he – I don't know why he ball watches. So if he's standing another player, he just looks at the play, right, looks at the ball. He doesn't man his man. And next thing you know, he realises that his man's already 20 metres, 30 metres on a lead getting the ball, right, and then create a play. Then he has to chase, and then he stops after the one effort or cracks to shits or starts yelling at someone.
I did notice a little bit of that.
He does it, but he does it all the time. And this is the thing for me. And really, if you drill down on the kid, he's given so many opportunities now. He's been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. And he doesn't seem to get it, right? So, I'd be interested what other people's feelings are. I'm not saying he's a great bloke and, you know, he's done more than I've ever done. He plays for Richmond. So good on him, right? He's to me, he's a success as a footballer. But I don't see him as part of our team going forward. I just don't see it.
Yeah, EJ sent a message pretty much saying the same type of thing that he kind of called the same kind of red flags a little while ago as well, and he probably got shut down a little bit by some of us as well. But he's frustrating because when he's in the zone and he's on, he does show some really good quality traits. He obviously got 3 goals a couple of weeks ago, did some silly things that didn't help him there either. But, yeah, He just didn't seem to even be able to compete. Like, he's got some good size. Like, he's actually built really nicely as a footballer. He's got good speed, but he's just not piecing it together. And, like, I don't care if he doesn't mark it. It's the same thing with Samson Wright. I don't care if they don't mark it. They just need to not let their opponent mark it, bring it to ground. But he's not even being able to do that. And he just, I don't know, he looks a little bit lost. And I don't want it to be a pilot on him, but I'm not sure where else to go with him. I don't know. We're still going to keep persevering, I think. I think until such time where there's a suitable replacement.
I don't think we do. I don't think, and you're actually great. I really love Lady, what is it? My son's giving me.
Lady Hawk?
Yeah, she's. I don't want to turn this off. Yeah, Lady Hawk's giving it to me. Yeah, said exactly what. Thank you very much. We need to get him out of the side and put Jacob Blight on. He's an older body in the sense that he's a mature age, ish. Like, he's played against men. He's shown in his VFL his chasing, his tackling, his pressure. He's not afraid to go get hit when he leads up. Now, this is the thing. Jack Riewoldt loves everything about every player, right? But even he called it out. The first two contests that Cumberland went in, it's like, oh. You can hear it in his voice when he was like, oh, you shouldn't. And then he did one contest where Cumberland actually did what you'd hope he'd do. He would actually go on the pack and he spilled the ball, but he brought it to ground. And I applaud him when he did it. But then it dawned on me. I don't think it's because Cumberland's doing this intentionally. I just think, and I mean this the right way, but I'm a plain speaker, he's just a dumb footballer. He's not an instinctive footballer. He's probably he just does not know where to go. And is that on the coaching? I don't know, but he's just a dumb footballer. And I think Hardwick picked up on that pretty quickly. So he has these abilities. When the easy ball gets to him and he's in the right position, he can make something happen. That's why people went off at me when I said he has a higher talent ceiling than Seth. His natural physical attributes.
Yeah.
Are like Caddy. He reminds me of Josh Caddy. He's got the same type of frame, right? But Josh Caddy shits all over him as a medium forward because he's a natural footballer. And that's where I feel for, I give him the outcome. And he's just not a natural footballer. And it's he might have played cricket when he was young. I don't know any of his backstory, but it you can see it. But the boy that we have that we recruited mid-season, he's a natural footballer. Give him a run.
Blight's the defender, though, isn't he? Would you play him forward? I mean, Gray's the other one.
This is the thing. The season's shot, right? That's why I mentioned about Sonsy putting forward. With our kids, let's start, you know, being creative, right? I want to protect pick two, get pick one if we can, but let's protect pick two. Let's have fun. All right, Sonsy, remember Townsend, Jake Townsend? This is brilliant coaching. Harwick said, all right, I'm going to finally give you one crack. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to make you a forward, but you've got to kick six goals. And they made a game of it, right? Yeah. And then he had so much fun with it, he went on this golden run.
He did. He tore it up.
Yeah, 17 and then 18, it continued on. Where he was continually kicking goals. And even when he wasn't kicking goals, he was doing important things, right? Because he felt like he belonged. Do that with the kids, Adam. Change it up a bit. Because what we're doing right now, Michaels, is not working.
Yeah, the issue is always forward of centre is a shambles. And even Lynchback didn't really make that much of a difference. He didn't really fire a shot for whatever reason. But there's been too many players in and out that there's just not that continuity yet.
We've lost that continuity. Yeah.
If we could somehow get 6 or 7 weeks with, you know, 90% of the same side for that period of time, we'd probably see a bit of a difference. But I think players a little bit all over the shop with what their roles are week in, week out, that it's just a bit dysfunctional, isn't it?
Look, the way I see it is, and just to sort of clarify my point, if we had Prestia that was fully fit, no injuries after a full preseason, same with Taranto, same with Hopper, same with Dusty and Bolton and so on and so forth, would be in the eight now. but we would be. That's the thing. This side, it's talent. If everyone was fit and healthy and didn't have any issues, you know, ability to continuity in their form, we'd be winning more games than we're losing. So I'm conscious of that, right? So being that's the case, because see, Tom won't click till probably around 3 or 4 games in. Because he needs, he's probably had the training, but he hasn't had the match fitness. It's going to take 3 to 4 weeks to get that run again and get the touch and all that sort of stuff. By that stage, the season's dead. So what I would say is, all right, let's have some fun. Cozzy, you're a shocking forward, but you like playing in the back line. You're the back. Bolter, let's continue with, even though Bolter's is that he should stay in the back line. All right, Bolty, Cozzy, you could have too got to work something out. You got to get, do something like that and just see how we go. Don't worry about winning. Let's just see how we go. But please, Brendan Gale, if you're listening, mate, change the coaches. Change the coaches. We're not a broke-ass club. We have huge support. We have money. We have prestige still. Go hunt someone.
Get Brenna Murray back.
Yeah.
Seen a few people raising some points about Nank. Nank's hit-out win percentage is number one for all rucks, which is an interesting stat. Obviously, when the ball hits the deck, it's not working. So, I don't know what the correlation is between hit-outs to advantage versus, winning those hit-outs. But I just don't know what the disconnect is. I think it's the revolving door is the biggest issue. But, I agree. Don't be afraid to throw some magnets around and look. As much as we would love to see Bolter kick goals up forward, he's definitely been much better since going down back again. As we start to get some cattle back.
Even now, just say, you know what, Lynch, don't worry, take the rest of the year off. You know, do like a fitness camp or something like that, you know, so you're primed for the preseason. Prestia, same thing, don't even stress, mate. If you want one more year, let's sign you on a one-year deal. But we're going to do the rest of this season as a trainee, get your body so cherry, send you to Europe for doctors, whatever we need to do. So next year, we hit the ground running. That's how I would treat the rest of the year.
And it helps because obviously the aim of the game with these youngsters is it's always said, you've got to try and get them to 50 games as quick as possible.
Yeah.
And that would help on that front as well. But enough of the game. What about the post-game stuff with Dusty? I thought it was... I didn't expect him to kind of lap it up and get amongst the crowd like that. I thought just with the way he is, and it's never about him for him. He's always about the team. And I really did think it was going to be just a quick wave. And I thought he might have even refused the chair off the ground and just sort of, walk off the ground. But it was really nice for him to get around to different parts of the crowd. And there was definitely a part of me that felt like that was more of a farewell than anything. But maybe I misinterpreted it. But it was nice to see him, really enjoy the moment. And it was good for Jack to be out in the ground too, to have a chat to him, because I think he obviously has a lot of respect and trust in Jack to ask the right questions and not make a dick of him. So it was good to see.
Yeah, I took it probably on face value and didn't read too much into it. The way I took what Dusty did doing his lap was his way, because all the media narrative was, he should be talking, he should be doing press conference, that's the word. Press conference, all that sort of stuff. So I reckon what he did is good. No, I'm going to go face-to-face with the people that have given me so much. And he was very profuse in his love for the club and the supporters, right? And I think that's what he really meant. I think he sort of gave a dig at people saying, oh, you're thinking I'm retired, I'm going to leave at 300, because he really focused on, I love the game, wait for the bye, we'll get going. I love playing with this club. I love this club. So he didn't sound to me like I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to retire, right? So, but from what I've heard, and, I've got a feeling that this might be his last year. Hope I'm wrong. I hope he goes. I reckon he's got value to go one or two more years just for what he gives to the kids and the club as a whole and what he can do forward, because he's still not bad. Statistically, he's not a bad player. So he's worth 22.
I think there was a point in time in the season where Champion Data, bless them in their stats, did say that for a player playing that much forward of centre, that it's never been recorded to get that many possessions in a game before. Like, that's, he's actually right, averaging really good numbers for the position, yeah, he's playing for most of the game. So, Dario, with this as well, I made a tweet about this and I make no apologies for it. I understand there's people that do have certain circumstances that do have to leave the game at certain points in time, and that's okay. But for the people, and I saw quite a few of them in my area, that were leaving the game early because they were pissy at the result, was a really shit effort on a night that we were meant to be hanging around to celebrate what was a magical occasion for someone who's done so much for us. I was a little bit disappointed in some fans leaving just because they were angry that we were losing. Fair enough, if you've got other stuff going on, that's always okay. But I just thought. You've got to hang around for that, no matter the scoreline. Because like I said, the game was largely irrelevant. Like, we're not competing for finals. Yeah, it was not a good effort, but, it was all about Dusty.
Yeah, no. Look, I've just read the comments too. Lady Hawk, I think that's the name, said something, Dusty might give it up because he gets sick of losing. I don't think losing – people forget he's – early career with Richmond was loss after loss after loss after loss. What I think would cause Dusty to retire is if he sits down with Uzay and he goes, can I add value to this side? If the answer is no, he won't play.
And that's my thing as well. I think he's had a bit of a realization that his role in the team's now changed. He's now not the star player. But his role is now to impart his knowledge and his wisdom onto these young kids coming through and help shape the club for when he leaves.
But this is the thing. I still think he's the star player because the team has been around him. It's been shithouse. Like, and when I use the word shithouse, he's been injured and his numbers are really good for, like you said, playing half, forward of centre. So, I really think, he's, the song's being sung to him that, no, we need you because we need that general to teach the guys and guard. And he's embraced that. You see some of the vision of him grabbing the forwards around, doing what Jack used to do. He's sort of taken that on board. Yeah. So, what a plus would it be for a kid that's getting drafted to Richmond, go, I'm going to be sort of coached by Dustin Martin, during a game. So, yeah.
And it's interesting because I know we can only judge from what we see from afar, which we don't seem say or do a lot. But from when you hear from people within the club, all they talk about is his leadership and how big he is of a person, a personality inside the club. So I don't think we should take that for granted, especially when you sort of help trying to shape things going forward. So I think I think he understands the role he's still got left to play for these young kids. And, you know, he's still putting up good numbers. And I think he would look a lot better again in a fully fit team. Yeah, so he doesn't need to be doing the type of heavy lifting he once was. He may not be capable of doing it for four quarters anymore. But, yeah, I was pretty happy with how he went about his 300th afterwards. And hopefully he signs on for another year. Just more importantly, so Sam McClure can never say he was right. That's probably the main thing.
Yeah. Look, for me, the short version of all this is it's not doom and gloom at Tiger Lane. Just the context is just enjoy watching the kids this year. Forget results. And the same thing next year, really. Though next year depends on which kid we get in and what we do in the off season. I've got something I really want to say, but I can't. So I don't trust myself. So I'll tell you on Monday if I'm right. Right? I've got to check it because it might out my guy.
Yeah, okay.
So I just got to make sure I don't out my guy. So I've got to run it by him before I say anything. So if certain things happen, you know, we've got a bright future ahead of us. And we have. It's just that, I'm just hoping we stay on the bottom next year as well when we have another real, because I want to do what we didn't do against when we all the franchise clubs come in, have two poor years just before Tassie comes. So we get these good quality kids in and then just start to spike up.
Yeah, it's a bit of a timing thing, isn't it? But we'll see how it plays out. Anyway, that is it for tonight's show. Teeks, thanks so much for coming back on, mate. Thank you for all of your trade stuff earlier on. Much appreciated. Thank you to everyone who tuned in tonight. Appreciate all the love and support. And I do want to shout out Travis as well, who in amongst however many thousand people that there were when we were all leaving the ground at the end, did spot me out, tapped me on the shoulder and said, love the show, and introduced himself. It made my night. It was a nice touch. So thank you, Travis, for saying good day.
That's what I miss. I haven't been to, this is the only year since the injury I've not been to a game. I can't because of the, it's something to do with it's the motion. And I've got no peripheral vision, unfortunately. That's the only thing. I can't, left or right, it just things. Yeah, so I haven't been able to go to a game, which has broken my heart. So, but you know what, I tell you, when I can finally go to a game again, if anyone sees me, please reach out. And he gave me a bit of a head wobble. We've got more blood. And he gave me a bit of a head wobble. It'd be gorgeous.
Kylie, Grok is in a moon boot. That's the latest update. So they did some scans on his foot. So for those who don't know, when Grok was leaving at the train station, quite a few people, and he had a bit of a stumble, did his ankle. So he's at the doctor's, got some scans done. They found some bone fragments floating around, but they think it was older bone fragments, but he's in a moon boot for a few weeks. So now the injuries are just getting passed on to our supporters, which isn't good, but hopefully you get better soon, Grok. But thank you again, Tix, for coming on, mate. Appreciate it. And I'm very, very glad to see you feeling better and up and about, most importantly. So have a good night, guys. Enjoy the week off with the bye. Obviously, we can't lose this week, which is good. And we'll be back again the following week to get stuck into the back half of the season. So have a good night, everybody. Until next week, go Tigers.
Take care, guys. Thank you for your support. It means a lot.